So you've been hearing from Network Rail today about the measures they've been taking to improve information for passengers at London Bridge. But aren't these things just tinkering at the edges rather than addressing the reasons for the delays that people have been experiencing? Are you reassured that Network Rail are taking seriously the things that are going wrong with the works that are causing people's delays, journeys to be delayed?
Yeah, the most important issues for passengers are that their journeys happen at the time that the timetable sets. And conversations I've had over weeks now and the communication I've had have been about trying to make sure that passenger journeys can run on time and that there isn't disruption which Network Rail could avoid. You can't prevent everything if somebody throws themselves on the track. That's not something they can anticipate, but engineering problems, track problems, and particularly delays in work are things that are their responsibility. We spent some time this morning. It's the first time I'd actually met on site with Mark Kahn, the head of Network Rail. I've obviously spoken to him on the phone, I've written to him and so on, but we spent some time talking about whether the lessons have been learnt from the delays and disruption at Christmas. He believes they have. He believes they have added further stress testing and preparation to the works that are being done at the moment to make sure that there won't be overruns in the programme at Easter when there are further closures, and to make sure that there won't be overruns in the two bank holidays in May.
You mentioned Easter. The people who are affected here as commuters, for the most part, won't be your constituents. But at Easter, we're also going to see the closure of Tooley Street for 4 days. Is that something that's figured in your discussions with Network Rail? And are you happy that they've taken good account, together with TfL and the council, of the effect that will have on local people?
Yes, I had a long whole morning meeting with TfL Network Rail, with the local councillors and officers about the knock-on effects for the community of these things. Look, it's not going to be easy. At the moment, every time two-way systems on roads like Tooley Street become one-way systems, every time roads are closed, it is disrupted. There's a huge amount of road closures in the borough at the moment and roadworks. TfL just about to do major roadworks on Towerbridge Road, as you know, and Abbey Street and Long Lane. But they have to be done. And so the question then is to make sure, A, the information is really clear and the public know what's happening, and B, that there are good alternative routes. It'll cause disruption. It'll make for longer journeys. It'll not be easy. But if at the end of the day we end up with a traffic system that works better and a railway terminal that's more accessible, then it's a short-term price I think people will be willing to pay.
Back to London Bridge itself, one of the points Network Rail have been making is that they've introduced an integrated structure of staff working together from across Network Rail and Southern and South Eastern, and one management structure for them at the station. Doesn't that really show that there's something very wrong with the fragmented privatisation structure of the railway?
Well, don't forget, Network Rail is not privatised. Network Rail is a public, state-owned organisation. Quite the opposite of being a privatised organisation. Therefore, Network Rail take the lead. Obviously, there's been an agreement over years to franchise out the train operating companies. There are some people who believe there ought not to be any independent train operating companies, but it's driven up performance, it's driven up reliability, it's driven up passenger use. I think they have responded, and Network Rail, as a state-owned organisation, have now put in place somebody to be in charge of the operation at London Bridge, who is accountable to somebody who's going to be in charge of all emergency response issues for Network Rail around the country. So let's see if it works. They believe they've got a tougher management system in place. I was critical. I made clear to Mr. Kahn when I first communicated with him, I was critical they didn't have a proper structure in place. I wasn't satisfied they had the right people. He has brought in other people from other organisations. I hope now they have a tough, centrally run, coordinated system that means train operators and Network Rail run to one system, share the information and share the responsibility.
The other knock-on from what's happened here that will really affect your constituents, and I know TfL have noted a significant increase in use of the Jubilee line in recent weeks, and also there's been significant crowding on the East London line as a result of this. Are you happy that sufficient measures have been taken for those passengers travelling through your constituency?
Yeah, I use the Jubilee line almost every day of my life, and the other lines, including the Overground, regularly. And I hope can judge fairly well how busy it is. There's a medium and long-term problem to do with our part of the world, because the numbers of people, particularly at peak time, using the Jubilee line is reaching capacity. And often people have to wait two or three or four times to get on an early morning train. That's why other things that I'm doing are important. That's why I think we need additional access to river services for people who can commute by river. Why we need a pier in Rotherham. That's why I'm absolutely clear we need the new cycle and pedestrian bridge from Surrey Docks to Canary Wharf, because it will relieve a lot of pressure, specifically at that peak part of the Jubilee line. So we're going to have to maximise the capacity on all of our underground and overground network. We're going to have to encourage people to cycle as much as possible, but we do rely on every bit of the system, including the railways, in taking their share of the strain. And that means that even for short journeys like London Bridge to South Bermondsey, they have to be reliable, because a lot of people will use them if they are.
And you've been talking to Network Rail this morning. At the moment they're accountable to the Department for Transport. Have you been making representations to the Department for Transport? A number of your neighbouring MPs met the Transport Secretary this week, and also Southwark Council next week is likely to approve a motion calling for Transport for London to be given a greater role in commuter rail into London Bridge. Is that something that you support?
I've always supported that. When the bill went to Parliament to set up the Greater London Authority, I served on the bill with Tom Brake, who's my colleague from Carshalton Wallington, and Ed Davey, who's my colleague in Kingston Surbiton. And we argued for two major differences from what the then government, Labour government, agreed to. We argued that all the rail services that serve Greater London should be part of Transport for London, and we argued the National Health Service in Greater London should be run by the Greater London Authority, and they were both resisted by the then Labour government. Now, I'm absolutely clear that a major cosmopolitan city like this is an integrated transport. You can't have integrated transport if every bit of the transport system is run by one organisation, but one bit of the system. Now, intercity trains would have to be out with that, but commuter trains, all trains that go to the edge of London, absolutely should be run by the GLA, and I support that fully and entirely, and have done for many years.
Final question. You've been following and campaigning on the Thames Link project for 20 years plus, since the early days of Thames Link 2000 and yes. The impact it's had on Borough Market and other parts of our community. And there's been years of upheaval one way or another. A couple of weeks ago, Sir Peter Hendy, boss of TfL, spent a long time talking to the London Assembly about the Thames Link project. And his view was that the whole premise of Thames Link is in fact unfeasible. The idea of running trains to a huge variety of destinations north and south of London. He said that he thought in 10 years' time that would have all been cut back, and trains would only be going through the middle of London between, say, Gatwick and Bedford, and all of the other branches and destinations that had been sold as a benefit of all this upheaval would go by the board. He said it wouldn't be possible to run 24 trains an hour through the middle of London from 10 different places in the north and 10 different places in the south. Are you confident that the whole premise of the Thames Link project, which is why we're here today, is deliverable and worthwhile?
Yeah, I meet Peter Hendy regularly. I haven't seen him since that question time at London Assembly, although I have read what he said. I disagree with him about that. I haven't gone through the evidence base on which he said what he said. It seems to me that it was always really important to try to make sure that for people who did not want to stop in London, but who needed to go from the north of London to the south of London, people from East London to West London, we should try and provide something that didn't add to the congestion in London, for the benefit of Londoners, to be honest. We didn't want to add to people making journeys which were avoidable if the trains went straight through. And for people who live in the north of England who are flying out from Gatwick, for example, or who are going for the weekend to Brighton, then it seems to be logical that we should want and expect Thameslink to work. In addition, we're about to have the Eurostar and the Eurail links broadened out, so you'll be able to get trains not just to Brussels and to Lille and to Paris, but to all sorts of European destinations. So it seems to me highly unlikely that we want to go back and start saying, no, no, we can't have these through journeys to other places other than the short term between Sake and Gatford. So I hope not. I hope that's a pessimistic prophecy, and it would be a very sad indictment that we spend lots of years having a north-south Thameslink, originally, as you rightly say, Thameslink 2000, delivered slightly later than Thameslink than 2000, and then all the work going on the moment for Crossrail, then to discover that it didn't deliver what we wanted, which is to protect London from unnecessary journeys by people who didn't want to come to London, but wanted simply to go through.